Drupal Voices is short daily podcast interviews with people doing work in the Drupal community. Brought to you by the Lullabot Learning Series. Our latest DVD and high-definition downloadable tutorial videos are Learning CCK and Learning Views, available now at store.lullabot.com.
So I'm Bojan Somers. I have been working in usability before I basically went to high school. I've been really reading a lot of books and starting to get used to the fact that I had to do some usability tests and all that kind of process before I started making all of these designs. And Drupal basically went in because I was building this site and was like, whoa, that's not working all right, which was actually a really early version as well. It was like 4, something around that. And so from that point on, I just started working with it, and I started working in a group, and yeah, it just went along from that, working with the Dutch design community and working with Roy a lot. And yeah, now we're just getting close to actually starting a team that works on usability issues.
And so you just spent the last week in Baltimore testing 11 different people for well over 16 hours worth of people using Drupal. So why don't you just sort of share some of your experience of that and what you learned from that?
Being in a small room is really bad. So that's the largest issue I have with that. But it was actually really exciting. I have been trying to get intermediate users in because I wanted to see how they actually use Drupal. So what kind of patterns do they have? Do they have these like tiny tricks they tend to apply every single time, basically, to get to know those tricks? And we learned a lot about the beginners as well. So we tried to get in like 4 or 5 beginners so we could still understand them better, because we have been doing tests, I think about 10 in total. But the data that came out of those was still not strong enough to convince people and to for us to basically work with. And this text actually got far more data out of it that we can use, that the usability team can work with, and that the group can work with.
And so this is sort of an inexact science, almost like psychology, because you're dealing with people and it's not something you can quantify. There's a lot of qualitative things that you're observing. So why don't you just talk about some of the things that you're observing and the sort of the behavior patterns that you saw?
Mm-hmm. What we're basically looking for is basically patterns in how you create your content and how you modify your existing website, because we know that a lot of times users have this kind of visual picture in their mind of how they want it to look, and we're trying to find out where the barriers are between doing that. And we're looking a lot about finding out what are their like ultimate goals, you know, what are they really trying to do, and not necessarily just looking at you need to do this checkbox in order to achieve something. So that was kind of the setup that we went with. From that, we build a scenario that we basically worked with the whole week long. We came up with some tasks that were going with that. And I guess at the end of the week, we saw some patterns emerging that it wasn't actually the last part of the test, which is like the really hard task. So setting up trigger module and like doing nifty stuff with modules and so on. But it was actually like the really simple stuff, setting up some content and creating a blog. Was like the first two tasks basically were really hard for them, but after they grasped some of the more concepts in Drupal, they started working with it and they got far more better at it along the test. After almost every single test, we had the user going like, oh, well, maybe I should actually use Drupal. So just making the first impression of Drupal better so that they can just slightly get along with it more, it's probably going to make a lot of difference in Drupal's usability and Drupal's progress, basically. We're going to get a lot of more people if we try to fix that initial experience and be able to still work on all of the other parts that are really important for programmers.
And so you're in school for usability, or what type of background do you have, and what sort of advice from the sort of the training you've had would you give to people who are, you know, either participating in a usability study, or what did you tell the other people who are watching with you? What type of a sort of advice did you find yourself giving to other people, or insights throughout the week?
Mm-hmm. So I come from a background in information architecture and usability work. I'm currently studying in interaction design, which is more of an art kind of study. And this week I really noticed that it's hard for people to get out of that coding context and more into the design context. And along the week, we really try to emphasize on the fact that you need to focus on the problems and not necessarily the solutions. With programs, it came up a couple times, but after, I think, one day we actually got them to realize that there were some larger issues, that they should focus more on that instead of thinking about how to solve all of the tiny issues that were coming up all the time, basically.
Yeah, one thing that Mark Bolton had said was the analogy of the trees and the forest. And usability is the trees, and user experience is sort of the forest. And so, you know, how do you sort of see that sort of, it sounds sort of similar with the developers wanting to solve all the trees without seeing the big picture.
It's a really classic analogy, yeah. But I think for us, it's far more important to work better with the tiny parts, with the individual programs, and not, you know, the bigger picture. It's really important to get good design, but to get along, you gotta work with those programs. You gotta work in the trenches basically all the time. And I feel that by working more with them, we can making them realize that the larger picture is something that's out there, and that when they make these issues and they make this stuff, that they need to start working a bit more towards that instead of just fixing their own thing basically.
And so what happens from here with all this work that you guys have done? You've gathered a lot of data. You have the DrupalUsability.org. What's sort of the next steps for you and the rest of the community?
Well, the next step for us would be is to work more towards a group that we can actually work on issues and solve them. Right now, we're working on a lot of issues, but we're not yet solving them because there's just too many barriers on all kind of fields, from programming to design. And we're just trying to take away those barriers and trying to get more people involved, because after all, we're not with that many people. We're just with 2-3 people who are really active all the time. And we need to get more people in to get that stuff working, basically. So I feel the way to move forward for us is to basically step out of the issue queues and start working more towards integrating issue queues with the design process. So that's what we're probably going to be working towards, and I have no idea yet how that's going to fit in all of the larger stuff that's going on, the redesign right now, but I hope it comes in somewhere.
That's interesting, because that's one thing that Mark Bolton had mentioned too, is that a lot of the developers are very focused on sort of the issues or developing, but the process of design is not well integrated into the process of creating in Drupal modules or user experiences with Drupal.
Mm-hmm. Well, I kind of feel that programmers are usually the ones that come up with really great solutions to design problems. So at a point, you have to cut off this in saying, like, you know, this is just really bad design, basically. But you have to allow those really great ideas to be able to pop up. And we're trying to get them more towards the visual side. So not thinking about the code yet, but thinking about how it would look to, well, anyone using Drupal, basically. So, you know, taking that step is probably more worthwhile than excluding programmers or anything. You know, you have to include them in every single step in order to get them to agree and basically to get it moving forward in the future. You know, you can't fix an issue like in the next 6 months, but we have to be fixing more issues and more issues all the time in order to get all of that new stuff flowing in, basically.
Maybe you could talk about some of your next research that you're thinking about doing.
Okay, so I'm planning for Paris to set up a new way to do usability research. So right now we just do the traditional usability research, where we get together in a lab and we just do the research. But I'm planning on getting more research done basically in the trenches. So getting those patches, you know, those small patches, testing them really quick so that we can get some more continuous flow on those issues. That's probably going to be the largest part. And that's not necessarily research, but it's more convincing and communicating on how to do those kinds of stuff.
Okay, great. Thanks, Milan.